in the garden on a beautiful Arizona Saturday. Good morning to you all. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We should probably talk a little bit more about pre-emergent. And you were talking about insect control, and you want to control that, control the weeds. Without that frost in a lot of the state, it's going to be a brutal one out there, for especially if you have allergies.
Well, that too. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going to bloom bloom heavily, that if you've got some allergies, that's always an issue. Pre-emergent's a great time saver if you can get it on at the right time and keep all those annual weeds from then coming up and then eventually going to seed and producing pollen, that sort of thing. You can use pre-emergent in gravel. You can use it in your lawn. You just have to time it. If you do use a winter lawn, you mentioned a product earlier, you have to make sure that you don't use the pre-emergent too late into the summer or fall to keep your winter ryegrass from germinating. But once it's up, you can then apply a pre-emergent. In that, the big weed problem that we've had in the last few years in landscape is spurge. And it just seems to get worse and worse and worse every year. And it's a tough one to control, because it literally almost as soon as it germinates and comes up, it's got seed on it. And the birds like it, so they scatter it and move it around. And it's just, so it's a tough one. And pre-emerging is one of the best ways to control that, just not let it get a chance to get up and get established.
Are there different kinds of pre-emergent? Like if I, a big granite yard, mm-hmm. generally you'll see a service come in and spray it.
Right.
How about a lawn?
Lawns, you probably don't want to spray on it, because number one, it's got a colorant in it to mark where it's been sprayed, and you don't want to turn your lawn orange. But granular, there's some good granular products. We like the one that High Yield makes called Dimension, Amaze by Greenlight. There's a number of different granular products out there that are really easy. You just put them on with a little hand spreader or your lawn spreader, and of course you're watering your lawn all the time anyway, so it just kind of waters in, and they do a good job.
And then how about the weed and feeds for the lawn? That suppose they do both.
I'm not a big fan.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. The active ingredient, the active amount of, there's nothing wrong with the fertilizer part generally, but the amount of actual weed killer you're getting in a weed and feed is so minimal that it's really kind of an expensive way to put it on. It's not that effective. If you've got a weed problem, you didn't use pre-emergent, or sometimes even if you did, in between, you get some weeds, it's just a whole lot more effective to spray or pull the weeds. If you got a real weed problem, you probably need to spray anyway, because the weed and feed won't take care of it. So
we took a lot of calls last year on spurge in lawns. And right now you ought to be dimensioning,
yes,
granular, pre-emergent through a Whirlybird.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've sold, last weekend we brought in more granular pre-emergent than I think we've ever brought in at one time, and we sold out. Well, Romy bought four bags.
I should have bought six.
See?
I was out there with my yellow slicker and my hat while it was pouring on Sunday, pushing a dimension around. But hopefully, I get into the habit of that around our orchard, and we'll have that clear. The rest of the weeds, we let the goats eat, but we don't let the goats in the orchard because they eat all the plants.
Right. So it's just
that full of weeds. If the kids are going to pick something, the last thing you want to worry about snakes under the weeds out there for them. So we'll start pre-emerging the orchard for weed control.
There you go. So using a granular in lawn area is a great way to go.
Let's bring Judy into the conversation and see how we can help her this Saturday morning.
Hi. I had some landscaping done, and they planted some, I think they're called morning glories, and the rabbits loved them to death even after I had fenced them off for a year. They ate them down to nothing but sticks, so I went to the nursery and said, what can I replace these with that the rabbits won't eat them?
Mm-hmm.
And they sold me some gopher plants.
Okay.
And they, I use a pre-emergent in the yard, but I have to constantly keep after them coming up everywhere.
The gopher plant coming up from seed?
Yes.
Okay.
So So is there anything I can do to keep that from happening?
Well, you can as soon as it flowers, I suppose you could prune the flowers off, and it's probably flowering now or starting to. It gets
kind of
a little chartreuse green flower on it. You could prune that off, and of course then if there's no flower, there's no seed. If there's no seed, you're not going to get the little seedlings to come up.
Okay.
That would be one just easy way to do it. As far as that goes, some pre-emergents aren't effective on absolutely everything. And there's some plants like, you know, that particular plant, even, you know, some of the woody trees and, you know, palm tree sprouts and different things that sometimes it's hard to stop those. But that'd be what I do if it becomes a real problem. I've never seen it, you know, you must have a lot of them. Usually you get a couple coming up and they pull up pretty easy. That would be one way to do it. Just cut the blooms off.
We appreciate the call, Judy. I hope that helped. Let's bring Brenda into the conversation. How can we help you?
Hi. I'm interested in growing strawberries out here. It's like another planet.
Where's out here?
Out here in Arizona, in Tucson.
Oh, out here in Arizona.
Yeah, we gardened in Georgia and Florida and Mississippi and Alabama and North Carolina. So it's a whole lot different, and I'm trying. My daughter Cheryl loves strawberries, so okay. I gotta try. I have a greenhouse and a garden that is about 28 by 18, and my son-in-law built a frame around it, and then he covered it all with net. So I'm in business.
Okay. Well, strawberries, you know, if you got a greenhouse, that's a little different situation where you could shade it and even cool it a little bit.
Right.
But quite honestly, you're pretty late for strawberries.
Well, it takes a couple of years anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and especially if you're going to devote a permanent space in a greenhouse.
I am.
If you want to try them now and get them going, if you can shade them and cool them.
I have them. They're blooming.
Okay. So what's your question?
Well, she's tried this. And all she gets is beautiful leaves. So we need some nutrients and some advice.
Okay, and one issue you might have in the greenhouse itself is pollination.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're in an enclosed environment and you don't have enough air movement, or you're certainly not going to probably have bees and different insects in there moving around.
Well, we've had bees in. It has two vents in the top that automatically open, and it has a window in the door and a window. Do you know what a solar prism greenhouse is?
Not exactly, no.
Well, anyway, I had it moved in here from another state and put down with rebar and everything, and so I'm raring to go.
Okay. Well, if it's nutrients that you think you're lacking, strawberries don't need anything really special. Anything that you would feed a tomato or a vegetable with ought to work really well with strawberries. You want a little bit more phosphorus than nitrogen to promote flowering, and if you're getting pollination, you're going to get fruit set. And you're going to want to make sure you cool that greenhouse down this summer when it starts to get hot, because that's going to be the biggest nemesis that for strawberries here is the heat.
Well, she's serious.
I guess
had
so.
Had a greenhouse relocate. I'm going to have to look up what the specific brand name she was talking about. But we hope that helps. We hope you get strawberries in a couple of years. You were talking about pollination. Have you seen this new product that they invented in Australia called FloHive?
No, I have not.
It's a beehive box that pretty much eliminates the need to put on a bee suit and go pull the comb out of the hive to get your honey. It's a tap out of the back like you would tap a maple syrup tree, and you just put your jar under it and let it fill up. Now, I have talked to several old-timer bees from the Central Arizona and Tucson Bee Association. The old-timers are convinced it's physically impossible and it could never happen, and it's it just wouldn't work. You've got to get in, and that ain't how we do it. So, but you watch the video, and it has just set, you know, like the crowdfunding where you pre-buy the purchase, and it's kind of like a Kickstarter campaign. They just broke the crowdfunding record. They've raised $5 million to start production in this in less than 2 weeks.
Holy cow.
So I've been on the mailing list and keeping up with it, because bees are something that I've always wanted to put in our yard, and the timing's never been right, and buying the hive can be tricky, and they don't ship at certain times of year into Arizona because of drought and blah, 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 blah. Not drought, but just heat. So anyway, it's been something on my list to add to our homestead. And I saw this, I thought, you know, I might wait another year to see if this really works, because it's pretty neat. So
we'll keep you posted. You bet.
All right. Let's stay in.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Okay.
Chad has been listening since 7. He heard both roosters. And he's on his way to Tucson from Phoenix. Rosie, he wants to know how to get to that area you were talking about with all the wildflowers.
Well,
the new
friendly quarter.
Well, at Red Rock exit, just head west, and you'll end up on Baumgarten Road, and just keep heading west, and you'll end up at a little place on the map called Friendly Corner. There's nothing there. There's an old filling station that doesn't look like it's pumped gas in 50 years, about falling down in on itself. But that whole road west of Red Rock is just, and again, the flowers are still about a week away. I mean, all the lupine is out, all the purple is out. But the globe mallow?
Globe mallow.
The globe mallow, that orange, robust.
Right.
I mean, it's just days away. I mean, just by the thousands of acres it's out there.
So Red Rock exit
and go west. Go west. And you go through, there's a subdivision there, and the road just keeps continuing on through the subdivision. You get to a feedlot, and the road kind of veers off to the south, turns to dirt, and then you've got about 37 miles before you get back into Casa Grande, and the majority of that's dirt road.
Now he's going south to Tucson.
Yeah, this will take him. He's going to want to do this on the way back home, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, or just go out there and turn around and come back.
Yeah.
So,
well,
One good thing about ending up at Casa Grande is you could always go to that Big House Cafe or Bedillin's and have a great meal at either one of those two places. That Big House Cafe, man, they feed you a lot of food.
I'm going to have to stop there.
That's a good little secret spot.
And generally, the old highway, you know, through Florence Junction and down that way is great for wildflowers, too. So just get off the interstate and make your way the back way to Tucson.
I've never done it during wildflower season. But I usually take 85 to 8 and then come in at Casa Grande and drop down. But I've taken 85 all the way into Tucson. You go through Ajo. I wonder how that would be for flowers. I mean, That's
probably pretty good.
That's a long, desolate track of countryside.
Yeah, for sure.